I wasn't quite sure, actually, up until about an hour ago what I was going to preach today, so praise the Lord. Thank God for a message. You know, I had some things earlier in the week, and ultimately that's what it was based on, but, you know, it's just funny how that happens sometimes, but God is good. He's faithful. Amen. And that's what I'm talking about today. Today's message is called Faithful God. Praise the Lord. Now, I would encourage you. I was really contending with whether or not I should preach last night's message again today. Last night's message, if you weren't able to listen to it, you need to. So please get online to our archives and go watch it, the one we preached in Corey. It was just so beneficial, so helpful. But that's not what the Lord had for us here today. We had another direction that we needed to go in, praise the Lord. And so today we're going to be talking about faithful God. Praise the God. We have to understand this about our God. We do have a faithful God, and we need to know that we have a faithful God. We have to stand on the fact that God is faithful and not let those things go. Amen. And we're going to start back in the book of beginnings. We're going to start in Genesis 12. Praise the Lord. Genesis 12, 2. Praise God. Hallelujah. And I know that there was a lot of revelation in this, and so we need to, if you just contend with me and believe that that all that God wants said today will get said. I believe it. Amen. Glory to God. There's times you can get in the pulpit and you think, man, I'm going to have all of 10 minutes to speak. Praise the Lord. That's all I'm going to get. And then there's times you get in the pulpit and you just can keep going for hours and hours. But whatever the Lord has for us, that's what we'll eat today. Amen. Praise the Lord. Faithful God. Verse 2 here, it says, I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great. Praise the Lord. You know, I love this promise given to God's people. Of course, we're God's people, so this promise is still given to us. But God's desire is to make our name great. You know, as I was thinking about this, as I was meditating on these things and thinking about what it is to be a great name, you know, I started thinking about, I actually started thinking about products, you know, because I was thinking about how different products are more valuable than others, and sometimes just based on their name. And when I was in Las Vegas, now I wasn't there gambling, we were driving through, we stayed the night there. I highly urge you don't go to Las Vegas, actually. I don't have no interest in actually going there. Again, it's really impressive to see it, but it's also very disgusting to see it. But I was there, and as I was there, you know, on the strip, actually the hotel we were staying in, we stayed at what was that hotel? The one with the big, the Bellagio? Yeah, with the big fountains, and, you know, they have all kinds of stores in there, and of course they have all kinds of gambling in there. We didn't gamble, but we did see it. But we see these stores, and they have all these stores, and has anyone heard of a name Gucci? Gucci store? They had a Gucci store in there, and that's kind of like a Louis Vuitton, kind of the same kind of level of value and stuff like that. But, one thing I noticed, we wanted to walk in because we just wanted to see it. We'd never been in a Gucci store before, and so we decided to walk in there. Praise the Lord. And we didn't gamble, so we didn't have enough money to buy anything in there either. But not that we would have anyways. But I mean, enough money, because you know how gambling works. It's just going to steal from you. But at any rate, so we walk into the Gucci store. And I noticed that it looked a lot different than Walmart. Amen. When you walk into Walmart, isn't there abundance of stuff? When you walk through the doors of Walmart, I mean, you're immediately bombarded with tables full, right? I remember even as a kid, we had a store that we would go into. You remember the store James Way? And James Way, it was in the mall, and it would have these bins. Well, at first it wasn't in the mall, but then it ended up being in the mall. But the time I'm thinking about, I was in James Way in the mall, and they had these bins in the middle of the aisles, these huge bins, and they were just full of whatever they were full of. If they had underwear, they were full of underwear. I only know there was underwear because me and my friends were walking through there, and my friend was behind me, and I grabbed one of the underwear and threw him, hit him in the face as we were walking through just to be a jerk, but that's how I rolled back there. But they had bins just full of stuff, you know. And the same thing with Walmart. You walk into Walmart and there's generally abundance of everything. They have so much stuff there. Sometimes you can barely traverse the aisleways. And they, you know, even if you go in there at the right time, you'll see pallets full of more stuff that they're putting out or finding more place for. But you know, when I went into the Gucci store, it was totally different. When I went into the Gucci store, it wasn't packed full. Actually, it looked like, are they closing or something? You know, there's nothing in here. There's just a few things. And each thing was on display. Each thing had its own place. So, like, if you wanted a wallet, the wallet had its own stand. And the wallet was, you know, on its own stand, on display with lights that were focused on that wallet. And there wasn't a bunch of other wallets around it. And you know what else was interesting is, you know, if you go into a place like Walmart or a place like Jamesware or wherever else, when you find those big bins of things, you also usually see a big sign that talks about rolling back prices, or you'll see a big sign that says, you know, $1.99 or $4.99 or $10.99 or whatever 99 it is, but you always see a price with it. And the other thing I noticed when you went to the Gucci store is there was no prices. In fact, it was really kind of odd, because I'm like, I really wanted to know just how much this wallet was. And I mean, I had already assumed I probably wasn't going to buy it, but I wanted to know how much it was. And so, but what I found is that you really have to dig and inspect in a Gucci store, and the same thing is with a Louis Vuitton store or anything else like that, to find out what the price is. And then once you get through all that, then you get the disheartening fact that the price is probably something you don't want to pay, especially for a canvas wallet, amen? Praise the Lord. But, you know, I was thinking about this. If you think about a Gucci purse or a Louis Vuitton purse, and, you know, you can easily spend a couple thousand dollars for a purse, you know, what's the difference? And that's on the low end. What's the difference between a Louis Vuitton purse and a Coach purse, maybe, that costs a few hundred dollars, you know, something that you could go buy a few hundred, or a $40 Walmart special? Honestly, what's the difference between them? And a lot of times it's just the name. It doesn't really have much to do with the material. There's not more material. It's not, I mean, sometimes they use better material. I do understand that. But if you get a high-end anything or a close to high-end anything, generally they're going to be in the same material. You know, leather's leather. If it's using cowhide, it's still cowhide. You know what I mean? But so the point is that the name is valuable. The name means something. And a lot of times we think of things. Now, I'm not, if you're off and you think wrong about what I'm preaching about, I'm not preaching about products, I'm not preaching about stuff, but I'm using an example from natural life to make us understand some things about God, amen? The Lord said, I want to make your name great. It wasn't just enough to give you a name, because he could have just given us a name. God said, he could have just said, I'm just going to give you a name. But no, he said, I want to make your name great. What that means is I want to make your name something that's more valuable. Something that's more desired. Something that when people see your name, they want to put it on display. You know, one of the things when I get a nice product, you know, one of the things I love about Apple products. I'm talking about all different kinds of products. Here we're getting endorsements. You know, every product I mention, we get a little extra. That's not true, praise the Lord. But I do recognize excellence, amen. And one of the things I love about Apple is that everything is always excellent. They go to the hilt to do things that most people don't think matter. One of the things that I absolutely love about getting a new iPhone is I never want to throw away the box that it came in. And there's no reason to not throw it away, because it's completely pointless after you get it. But it's so well constructed. It's not just a throwaway box. It almost feels like something you want to put on a shelf. The box, the packaging, the packaging to them is always excellent, and it's you know, and that's a company that takes things to that extra step and goes further. But that's why they can charge more for those things, not just because there's excellence behind it. Their name is great, and they get away with it. Amen. You know, I thought about that a lot over the years with Apple computers. People that like Apple computers like them, and they aren't the ones that are bought mostly. But because of what they are, they can be sold for more. And that's because their name is great. And so I use all these examples for us to understand that there's a difference between being a Walmart purse and a Gucci purse. Amen. And not saying if you have a Walmart purse, I'm not saying you're bad or anything like that. But, you know, the point is that the Walmart purse is never going to be on display. And so God did this for a reason. He said this for a reason, and he wasn't probably thinking of Gucci when he did it, and he probably wasn't thinking of Louis Vuitton or even Walmart, praise the Lord. But he was thinking about making our name great and wanted us to understand that that means something to God. We understand as the people of God that excellence is, it means a lot to God. God is a God of excellence. He doesn't design things to just fall apart. His purpose was not to just fall apart. This earth was not meant to die. Death was not a design of the Lord in the sense of he didn't create this earth with death in mind. Praise God. Hallelujah. So many times people want to they want to put death on God, but God is not a God of death. God is a God of life. Praise the Lord. And so what he wants to do is infuse life into things. In fact, Jesus came that we could have life. Amen. Because we were on the path of death. Now, God allowed death, and it was good that he allowed death, because if he didn't allow death, we would be perpetually living in sin. Amen. And so God allows death of the flesh so we can break that break out of that bondage of sin. Amen. Praise the Lord. But God wants to make our name great. And it goes on to say in verse 2, and I love this, he says, and I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. Now, here's the reason why God wants to make your name great. Glory to God. And this herein is the difference between desiring excellence and just desiring something. You know, so many people are just after stuff. They're just after things. They just want better, just want nicer, just so they can say they have it. But God has a purpose in making our name great, and that purpose is to make us a blessing. God wants us to be a blessing and show his generosity to the whole earth. God wants us, and not just like financially and stuff like that, but sometimes or in all kinds of areas, to show love in a way, because love is an expression of that. Love expresses being a blessing. When you truly love somebody, you want to be a blessing to them. Amen. I don't know what it is, but, you know, kids, your kids can make you do this. Your spouse, if you're loving your spouse, can make you do this. You make you do things that you don't want to do. Amen. We all know those feelings when you first meet somebody for the first time, and it's like, man, you'd do just about anything just to get next to them. What is that? That's that desire to be a blessing. You want to be part of what they are or who they are. Amen. Glory to God. And so we have to understand that our lives should cause people to praise God. People should praise God when they look at our lives. They should glorify God. And what do we mean by that? Does it mean that they're going to necessarily just say, praise the Lord? You know, and I want to clear something up first. You mind if I clear something? Because this keeps coming back up to me in my spirit. You know, last week when I was preaching, one of the things that came out is I said that, you know, I was talking about healthcare and things like that. And I know that I did go on to say the right things about it. I said that God will always take care of you. But I want to emphasize that in case you walked out of here thinking that Pastor Jeff is against healthcare or Pastor Jeff is against people, you know, getting things that they need. I absolutely am not. That's why I preach the gospel. Amen. But I want to clear it up for you to make you understand God wants you to have healthcare. That's part of why Jesus came, was to deliver us guaranteed health care. But he wants you to have health care of the natural too. He wants you to not worry about your bills and the things like that. But what I'm saying is that can't be the focus of stuff, amen? That people have so often gone into this place of just, they want to claim everything from the point of deserving. Sorry for that break. I felt like I needed to go in there and clean that up a little bit. But God wants us blessed. He wants us taken care of. He wants us to be a blessing to others. God blesses us to be a blessing to others. We should, our lives should cause praise to God. Amen. Now, as we've learned, I've talked about it a little bit recently, but praise to God isn't always saying, praise you, Lord, thank you for this. But sometimes praise to God is when people recognize God, when they see God in the world, and they start speaking and they're in awe by it. That is a form of praise towards God. Amen. And our lives should be examples of that to people. Our lives should cause people to look and say, God is with them. In fact, we see that so many times in scripture where something really powerful happened or something really big happened, and people looked at they looked at it and they said, God is with those people. It's obvious God is with them. Yeah. Listen, when the Israelites were marching around Jericho, praise the Lord. And then they shouted on the seventh day and the walls came tumbling down. You know, what's interesting about that is that wasn't a thing to cause praise to God for the people of Jericho. But, you know, they wouldn't be, oh, thank you, Lord, for knocking our walls down. But it did cause praise in them because they started speaking of the praises of the Lord. They started speaking of the greatness of the Lord, and that's the truth. Sometimes people are going to learn by the severity of God. Amen. You know, God is a loving God. He's a kind God. He's a wonderful, a blessing God. He wants to pour out in our lives. Amen. But he's also a God of justice. I said he's also a God of justice. And folks, we have to know this about our God. Our God is a God of justice. He is not going to let sin go on perpetually. He is not going to let things happen wrong forever. And sooner or later, he's going to come in and clean up the mess. Now, he's long-suffering towards us, amen, but he will clean up the mess. And so God wants to make our name great. Praise the Lord. So not only should this be something that we understand, it should be something that we expect. As we move through life, we need to expect that God wants to do great things through you and I. Amen? That it doesn't matter where you're at. It doesn't matter where you're called or when you were called. It doesn't matter what your background was. It doesn't matter what you think your future is. All that matters is that God wants to use you for something great. Amen. Each and every one of you, amen? So we can confidently say, when I look at you, God has a great plan for you because the Bible tells us so, and God has specific things that he wants to do in your life, things that will stir you, things that will excite you, things that will pump you up and get you just like, why did you pick me for this? But God wants to do these things because he wants to make your name great, amen? And it causes praise to God when we do so. Praise the Lord. Our life should cause people to praise God. Amen. Turn with me to 2 Chronicles. Getting a good start here in the Old Testament. Praise the Lord. Now, just so you know, if you desired a Gucci bag, there's nothing wrong with that. If you make it your life's aim, everything is wrong with it. And see, this is what we have to understand about God. You know, I was going to say dad. That's okay. I say dad too. Praise the Lord. You know, I was at a conversation with somebody the other day. And in this conversation, you know, what was said was, you know, so-and-so at this part of, it was a president of something or other. They make X number of dollars. And it was some large amount of money, huge amount of money, way more than the average person, probably anybody in this room makes. In fact, I can guarantee you it's way more than anyone in this room makes. And the reason I can guarantee you is because if it's not, then you're not tithing, and we know better. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, because the amount that it was, the tithe on it would be more than what we bring in every week. Praise the Lord. But at any rate, you know, so this person was talking about this, and they were stirred up about it, and I've heard this kind of stuff before, and I don't necessarily blame them because it's just kind of a thought process that's put out there. But they said, why does that person deserve to make that much? And it was we'll say it was the president of something. That's all I'm going to say. It was the president of something and the head of a large organization. And he said, why does that person deserve to make that much? And I spoke up because I couldn't let it go. And I said, well, why wouldn't they deserve to make that much? They take responsibility that no one else takes. You know, it doesn't bother me that the president of the United States makes what they make, like $400,000 a year, somewhere around that. You know, like that's a low number for somebody in that kind of position. It may be a high number for one of us, but it certainly is not enough to take all the garbage that they got to take. Praise the Lord. And this is the thing. You know, it's not like Joe Bananas can be the president of the United States. I mean, they're trying to make Joe Bananas the president of the United States. Well, praise the Lord. I didn't say that out loud, did I? But they try to make Joe Bananas the president of the United States. Some people would say we got Joe Bananas as the president of the United States. But we all know this, that no matter whether you like the person or not, the one that's in there can't just be some idiot off the street. They can't just be some yokel that doesn't know what's going on. They have to have some kind of knowledge to be there. And I will say this about every single president. They have to have something to be able to qualify them in the first place. Now, sometimes that something is just a willingness to be controlled and manipulated by someone else, but they have to have at least that. They have to have at least that knowledge to get it. No, but you know what I'm saying. Like if you make a corporation, maybe the president of the United States was a bad example, but if you take a local corporation or a big corporation, something like, you know, GM or Ford or something like that, you can't run that with somebody who doesn't know good business sense. You can't. And they're going to make a lot more money than the average worker on the line. And they should make more money because there's a lot more responsibility. Amen? Praise the Lord. I learned this I worked in a union factory. I was in a union. Shoot, I was a union steward. I've been part of the whole gamut, the whole mess. Amen? One thing I learned is that I'm glad I'm not in any of that mess anymore. Amen? Because that's what it is. On both sides, you get those things. But I did know this, that the ones who are most valuable typically are the ones that are going to be used at top. Amen? We shouldn't fault people who are in a position for making more, or for doing better. Amen? Because if you follow God, he will take care of you. Amen? I'm talking about from the Christian perspective. Now, the world has all kinds of perspectives, but we know they're never right anyways. Second Chronicles, have you found Second Chronicles 16? I'm glad you did because I haven't yet. Praise the Lord. But I was in it at least once this week. Amen? Second Chronicles 16, we're going to start in verse 7. And at that time, something like that. The seer, he was a seer, right? The seer came to Asa, king of Judah, and said to him, because you have relied on the king of Syria and have not relied on the Lord your God, therefore the army of the king of Syria has escaped from your hand. Now, there's a really important part right here that we see, that you have relied on the king of Syria and have not relied on the Lord your God. The first thing I want to point out to you is this, that this is exactly what people do. You know, I can make a joke about different things, like, you know, I just made a joke about the president and stuff. Obviously, I wasn't completely serious or anything like that. But there's a lot of people, there's people that would actually get mad because of what I said. And if you got mad about what I said, then I just say you need a heart transplant. You need a heart fix. Because the truth of the matter is this. If your supply is whether or not a Democrat or a Republican gets in the office, then you're in trouble. Because you're already doing the wrong thing. You're doing right what happened here, and you will lose the blessing of the Lord because of that. I said the people of God will lose the blessing of the Lord because they rely on the wrong thing. Right here we see that God, you know, we just saw God wants to make our name great. Everybody was excited. I don't think I saw one sad face in the room when I said, God wants to make your name great. Praise the Lord. But when we talk about relying on God, when we talk about our dependence on God, when we don't do that, when our dependence starts becoming in jobs or our spouse or our friends or our parents or whatever else, then that's where our reliance is. It is not on God. And then we lose the blessing of God. Praise the Lord. And we don't lose it because God just pulls it away necessarily. We lose it because we disqualify ourselves from having it. You're not qualified to have it if you don't trust God. I said you're not qualified to receive from God if you don't trust him. Because the whole basis of receiving from God comes in trust. The very greatest thing that he gave us, his son, comes through just trusting God for him. You have to trust God to receive your son. If you don't trust him in another area, then you've put your faith in another area. Because you have relied on the king of Syria and have not relied on the Lord your God, therefore the army of the king of Syria has escaped from your hand. Were the Ethiopians and the Lubim not a huge army and very many chariots and horsemen? Yet because you relied on the Lord, he delivered them into your hand. Look at the Egyptians were so far, they were so much more powerful than the Israelites were. Way more powerful than they were. But God delivered them into their hand. Jericho was a fortified city. There was no way. The people of Jericho stood there and were like, you're going to march around the city and take it? I mean, have we watched our VeggieTales, right? We know. You silly little pickles, you silly little peas. You think that walking around these walls will bring the city to its knees? Praise God. Hallelujah. Don't make me get into VeggieTales. Hallelujah. Of course not. They didn't think there was no way that these city walls were going to fall. We've built these walls thick. We've built them huge. Actually, I heard this once that they found where Jericho was, and the walls of the city didn't crumble. The walls of the city sank right into the ground, and they found them. They were these huge walls. But what did the Israelites do? They relied on God. Well, how did they rely on God? God said, march around the city. There's nothing about marching around the city that brings walls to the ground. There's nothing about that that would bring the walls down or give you access to the city. But when God says there is, then there is. Amen? And so that's relying on God. See, a lot of people say, well, we need a huge army. We need all the Christian churches in America to rise up and to stand in faith. No, we just need faithful. We need faithful in this church. The faithful in this church could change this whole nation if we wanted to. If we decided to, if we relied on God enough, we just said it doesn't matter what goes on around us. Praise the Lord. Now, you know, when I was talking about things like the president and stuff like that, those things do matter from this standpoint, and I won't take this away because the Bible says that God is always with us, whether it's good or bad. But you understand that there will be times of peace and times of trial. It's a lot easier to believe God and to live faithfully in a time of peace than it is a time of trial. Because in a time of trial, when you're on the run, it's not always fun. You got those other things working against you. Amen? Praise the Lord. And that's why the Bible calls us to pray for our leadership. Amen. So they were delivered into your hands because you relied on the Lord, he delivered them into your hand. For the eyes of the Lord, look at this, for the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth. What does this mean? It means he's looking back and forth. God is scanning the earth constantly. He's looking back and forth on the earth constantly throughout the whole earth to show himself. I said the whole earth. Mayville, New York. Some little village in Zimbabwe. If there's a village in Zimbabwe, I've never been there, I don't know. But if there is, God's looked there for faithful. He's looked there for someone he can be strong on their behalf. He's looked there for somebody he can bless. He's looked for someone he can make your name great. In some little village in Timbuktu. That's actually a place. But maybe Timbuktu is a village. Praise the Lord. I don't know. But in that place, he's looked for someone to be great. Amen. Whose heart is loyal on behalf of those whose heart is loyal to him. Man, hallelujah. In this you have done foolishly. Therefore, from now on, you shall have wars. Wow. So he said, because you have done foolishly, what was the foolishness that they did? It was not believing God, not trusting in God. But I love this. It says, the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is loyal to him. You know, I was in conversation this week and this scripture came up. And as I was kind of meditating on it and thinking about it, God started showing me something. It's not hard to look at the world and see God. Actually, the Bible says that we can't look at the world and not see God. And so as we look at the world, a fool would say in his heart, there is no God. Just look at the things that are created. And when you look at the massive ocean, or you look at the clouds, or you look at a volcano or anything that's powerful on the earth, and you look at that and you know that God created that on a whim. Really, he just created that as a way to just establish his power, show his power. But he just created it so easily and without any trial. God just created these things. Praise the Lord. And we look at those things. We can look at those things and know God is strong. But see, the Bible says here that he wants to show himself strong on your behalf. That he wants to take your life and show his strength through your life. Now, the fool, the Bible says, can look at the world and say, that's God and that's the power of God. They can look at the sun and you can sit there and look at, don't sit there and look at the sun, but you can sit there in the presence of the sun and you can witness the power of, the very power of God. But God says, that's not enough. I'm looking to and fro on the earth. I'm scanning the entire earth, looking for somebody who will be faithful, somebody who I can show my strength in their life, in their situation. Somebody that when the world looks at them, praise the Lord, they want to call him Gucci. They want to call him Louis. They want to put him on display. Hallelujah. God, that's what God wants to do. He wants, see, this is how the favor of God comes on man. Because when God starts influencing your life and you start relying on God and that power of God starts infiltrating your life, things will come to you that you can't control. People will bless you that you can't stop. People will put you on a pedestal that you don't want to be on. You will be lifted high because that's what the power of God does. I said, that's what the power of God does. God's power always lifts us up out of the dirt, out of the mire, because God is never okay with the mire. He's never okay with the dirt. Amen? Praise the Lord. Think about it. Think about how he created man. He could have made man any creature he wanted. But he took, I've always believed that it's symbolic. But he took man from the dirt. He gathered the dust of the ground. But he did something special with it. He made it. He rose it up out of the dust, rose man out of the dust. And now man can, just through the creative power that man has been given, man can soar over the dirt. We can get in planes and fly like the birds just because God has put that ability within us. Amen? Glory to God. Hallelujah. You know, it's amazing when we think about the technologies and stuff that we've come up with. That was in us the whole time. The only difference between now and then is now we have the knowledge then we didn't. But you know, the Israelites, as they were coming out of Egypt, God could have told them, could have showed them how to make computers. And they could have made them back then. Amen? They couldn't have plugged them into anywhere because he would have had to show somebody else how to make electricity, but or how to get electricity, but praise the Lord. And so God wants to show himself strong. God is a relational God, and that's what this is all about. God is not good enough with just showing strength in the group. He wants to show the strength individually. He's not good. It's not good enough for God to just to pour out on the whole. He wants to pour out individually. He wants to make your name great. Have you ever noticed anything about our names? I don't think anything, unless you're directly related to me, no one else in here shares my name, right? And as I look around the room, I see groups of the same thing. Praise the Lord. I see a couple Gabriels in here on both sides of the room. Amen. Praise the Lord. I see a Gitchard back there. Hallelujah. I see a Lashbrook back there. Glory to God. Cyper. I know all your names. I'm not going to call them all. I just decided to make my way from the front to the back. But God wants to make all those names great. And if I didn't mention your name, well, God doesn't want to make your name great. You're exempt from the Bible. I'm sorry. No, we know that's not true. Glory to God. God wants to infiltrate your life. That's why you're sitting here. Because you come here to find out a way to connect better with God. As we come together in the corporate anointing, it's not because I'm coming up here. It's because we've come together in the corporate anointing. Hopefully all to seek God. God wants to make our name great. Amen. He wants to do great things. And that is because God is a relational God. He wants to show himself to you. He wants to show himself in you. He wants to show himself through you. See, God could have done things without us. He did not need you. Have you noticed that when God created the whole heavens and earth, he didn't consult Jeff and say, hey, Jeff, I better create you first to get your consultation on how I should do this. He didn't do that. And he didn't pick you either. So I'm not just picking on me. He didn't consult anybody else. He said, this is what we're going to do. This is what we're going to do. He didn't need your consultation. And yet he decided that he wants to use you. It doesn't matter who you are. We got this little one over here, little Sophia. What a sweet, precious young woman, praise the Lord. And we are a young girl. She's not one. Why would I say young woman? She's in the woman breed. Amen, or whatever that is. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. And we got, young Gemma back there, just these little dots. But God wants to show himself great in them. Yeah, amen. You know, Rachel sent me a video this week. It was so precious to me. It was Sophia talking about what she learned last week. Not to live by emotions. It was wonderful. Even if that's all she got, I'm like, that's all you needed to get. You got enough. Just don't live by emotion. But she knew that. She got that one little thing. Praise the Lord. But see, that's God who's going to show himself great in all these little faces. Because it doesn't matter who you are or what level you're at. It doesn't matter how far you've come or how far you haven't come. Amen. And this is what we try. This is what we urge you with. We try to get across to you that God, he wants to use you. But in order to be used by God, there are some requirements. One of those requirements is that A, you're faithful. B, that you rely on him. And that's part of faithfulness. What is reliance on him? It's saying, all my eggs are in his basket. All my chips are with him. I don't need anything else. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Whether I have this job or that job, doesn't matter. Whether I live in this place or that place, doesn't matter. Whether I go to this school or that school, none of that matters. I'm not saying it doesn't matter at all. You understand that. Obviously, it does matter where you live a little bit. You don't want to live in somewhere that's war-torn or something like that. You know, obviously, there's safe neighborhoods. There's not unsafe neighborhoods. But even if God called you to live in a safe, unsafe neighborhood, he would keep you safe if you were faithful. He would protect you if you were. In fact, yours would be an example. I believe this all the time about our church in Corey. Not that Corey's unsafe, but we haven't seen growth like you want to see, but that doesn't mean there's no growth. And it doesn't mean that there's not purpose. See, we know this, that through what God has shared with me and that what he shared with others that didn't even know, praise the Lord, that work is of the Lord. What's he doing? He's showing himself strong there. Anybody who will connect to that has access to the power of God. Listen, folks, I'm just gonna be honest with you. We haven't fully connected to the power of God here yet. We've connected to it to a level, but we haven't connected to what God wants to do. If you think this is the bulk of what God wants to do, then you either have your sights set so low. Now, what I'm saying by that is that I'm not saying we have to be a church of 500 people or 1,000 people. We may never grow bigger than this. I don't know specifically. God hasn't specifically shown me. I've seen things that seem like otherwise might be so, but he hasn't come down and told me this is the way it's going to be. Praise the Lord. And I can't put my interpretation on it either, because maybe my influence, maybe your influence isn't going to be, maybe we'll be 50 plus people, forever, but our influence will be much greater than that, much bigger than that. We don't know. See, it doesn't matter how it looks. It just matters that it looks like God wants it to look. Amen. But have we fully connected? Ask yourself, have I fully connected to what God has done? And the truth of the matter is none of us, including myself, haven't really. I mean, we're learning as we go. I'm not saying we're failures, amen? But there is a process, and we have to understand that a church that stops growing only stops growing. When I mean stops growing, I'm not talking about in numbers or size of church. A church that stops growing is a church of people stop having revelation. You know, I had a person say to me this week, our church, they were talking to me about church. And they said, well, our church is dying. And the first question they said is, they said, do you have young people in your church? I said, yeah, we have all kinds of people. So we have everybody from newborns all the way up into oldborns, praise the Lord. So we have every range of the spectrum. So, oh, you're lucky. I'm not lucky. We follow the Lord. We're blessed according to his scripture. Praise the Lord. Listen, you preach the word and you'll fill a church. You'll keep people in a church if you preach the word, because there's people that need to feed. There's people that are hungry. Amen. Now, not everybody's hungry, but the truth of the matter is there is a sense of truth, and there is a future in the future. Glory to God. But because she is here, or she is here, you know, I'm talking about Gemma and Sophia, because the little one, Joshua, these little ones are here, that doesn't guarantee our future. Because it doesn't guarantee that they'll stay. The only thing that guarantees your future is, do you rely on God? And see, churches that are drying up and can't do anything. In fact, they have a church the size of ours. And they said, and this person said to me, they're on the board, all that stuff or whatever, or the deacon or whatever they do there. They say, well, we have a pastor, but we can't afford a full-time pastor. We had to share them with another church. I'm like, well, how big's your church? Church is bigger than ours. Why can't they afford? Well, first of all, the pastor probably never teaches about tithing. If you never tithe, well, of course you're not going to be able to pay for the bills of the church. Praise the Lord. You know, I'm not saying that my salary is huge, but my salary is a part of the bills of the church. Amen. And until I got one, up until then, I didn't make a salary, but I still pastored because that's what I was called to do. Didn't matter if I was getting paid. I pastor in Corey. I don't get paid for that. But I don't say that as any kind of slight. I say that because I don't do it because I get a paycheck. I do it because it's what God has called me to do. Praise the Lord. There's a difference. And see, if a pastor recognizes that they're in a place that they're supposed to be, then it doesn't matter if the paycheck's coming in or not. They're in the place God will supply for them. Amen? And that's what has always happened for us and anyone else who follows the plan of God. What my point is in saying all this is that that following God, relying on God is what is necessary, not doing things the way the world does them. This is why we have pastors that get into protests and stuff like that instead of what they should do in prayer. And I bring that up again because these things are in front of us all the time. It's not what they are called to do. How do I know that? Because Jesus and the disciples never protested. They never did it. I'm not saying they never protested in the sense that they never, see, we can't mix words, right? We can't just take the words and take them out of what I mean. I mean, they didn't lead marches against things. Amen? They prayed. They used their faith. Glory to God. They relied on God. They didn't rely on people to do what they wanted them to do. Listen, you teach everybody how to live like this, to live according to the word, and I'm going to tell you right now, you will have no more need for any riots. There will be no need for reform in police departments if there's need for it. I'm just saying, whatever side you're on, doesn't matter. There will be no need for any of that, because if people live according to the word, everybody's going to be happy. Everybody's going to be taken care of, amen? But God is a relational God. He wants to show himself in us. Praise the Lord. You know, I was thinking about this, and I can't remember why it came up, but it's good, so I'm going to share it. But it would be ridiculous to get jealous about what others get. What others have, all that is, listen, if you get jealous about what someone else has, all that is, listen to what I'm about to say. The reason I say that is because I really want you to listen. If you get jealous about what someone else has, all that is you being deceived by the devil. That's what that is. That is the deception of the devil. That's how he works. Jealousy is deception of the devil. Glory to God. Now, the Bible says that God is a jealous God. It's not talking about the same kind of jealousy. I'm talking about when you want something that doesn't belong to you, when you want something that is somebody else's. That is called jealousy. It's ridiculous to get jealous, and I'll tell you why. Because God wants to take care of you, and in his plan, he always will. God never has left you nor forsaken you. That does not mean that you have not left him nor forsaken him. When it says he has never left you nor forsaken you, it means there is always access to what God has for you. But whether or not you walk in the access or get into the access of what God has for you is up to you. It's ridiculous for a Christian who knows who they are to get jealous over someone else. Amen. I was thinking about sibling jealousy. Of course, I have children, and through my children, any parent will see it. Amen. That one of the children, or all of the children, will, or somebody in one of the children at some time or another, will always feel like they got the shorter end of the stick. That they didn't get, you know. I remember I used to think about my older brother. He got got things I didn't get. And my younger brother, he got things I didn't get. It just wasn't fair to me. That's what we think about. But you know what sibling jealousy is? And now we know the truth. Sibling jealousy is literally declaring that a parent is wrong, that they're not good. That's what it is. That's what that is. That's stirring in you. So if you're, I don't care if you're three. I don't care if you're three or if you're 93. Is there any 93s in here? If you're 93 or three, it doesn't matter. You can still be jealous of siblings. Brothers and sisters in Christ, get jealous of what brothers and sisters in Christ have. It's foolishness. Why? Because if you follow God, he will bless you. And if you don't believe that, you're wasting your time. Yes, if you follow God, he will bless you. If you don't believe that, you're wasting your time. So you either need to start believing that or go somewhere else that won't tell you that, because you'll just get mad at me every time I say it. Sibling jealousy is simply saying that this is what it ultimately is saying that mom and dad loves them more than me and they don't parent good, so they're not good. That's what it says. Amen? And we notice, and why do we always correct sibling jealousy? Because I don't give Mark the same things I give Ezra, or the same things that I give Caleb, for a reason. Amen. They're different. I deal with them. I have a relation with each one of them, and what we interact with is based on our relationship. I mean, if I treated them all exactly the same, how unfair would that be? Because that would be like, well, Mark has certain needs, but I don't even care about them. I'm going to focus on what Caleb's needs, and that's what I'm giving to everybody. Yeah. Some people want that. Yeah. But see, they want it foolishly. It's an error. It's not God. Yeah. It's the devil. It's the devil making you look and say, oh, the grass is greener on the other side. But the truth is, that wouldn't bless. What I give Caleb, the way I treat Ezra wouldn't bless Mark. And the way I treat Mark wouldn't bless Ezra. In fact, the way I treat Mark would destroy Ezra. Why? Because he's a 23-year-old man and she's a 12-year-old girl. Praise the Lord, you don't treat them the same. Amen? Praise the Lord. And there's also a difference when you raise boys versus when you raise girls. You better raise them differently, because if you're not raising them differently, you're just as much a son of hell as the devil is. Yeah, absolutely. We raise boys and girls different because boys and girls are different. Doesn't mean one's better. It's different. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. People focus way more on others and miss what God wants to do in them. Praise the Lord. He's not just looking to give you a name. He's looking to make your name great. God declares, remember the Holy Spirit's job. I remind you of this all the time. The Holy Spirit's job. God declares to you what's yours. But if you are focused on what someone else has or what they're getting, you will never, ever see what he has for you. You won't see it. You can't see what God has for you when you're focused on what he has for someone else. Listen to me. This is so important, because this is an area we miss it so often. It's so easy to look at what someone else has and say, I want that. But that, man, I'm just telling you. You know, there's things that the Lord has given me in recent times, things that I wanted my whole life, things that I wasn't even seeking for. They just happen. Things have just happened. And as these things happen, the Lord shows me each and every time. And the things that have shown up, and I've shared this with you to a degree, but the things that have showed up have not always been things specifically that I wanted, but of a kind of what I wanted. Amen? And, you know, I talked to you about the Lord dealing with me on my preference and stuff like this. Because, see, our preferences are skewed by emotion. We think that our, you know, I prefer this one thing to look like this. Amen? Praise the Lord. Can I use an example? Can I use an example with my wife? Praise the Lord. Can I use an example with you? I was convinced. No, this isn't bad. You know it's not going to be bad. Praise the Lord. I was convinced that the woman I was going to marry was going to be blonde. I was convinced of this. Now, I got a little blondie here, praise the Lord, but I was convinced of it. So that's what I naturally looked for. But when I met my wife, there was no doubt, except for her hair color. It was all off. It was all wrong. No, I'm just kidding. Yeah, it's changing now anyways. It's going great. But, and I don't say that as an insult. She likes it. It's going great. Praise the Lord. She likes it going great. And I like it too. It's hot. But at any rate, but don't you look at her like that. I'm just saying that I think so. Amen. But if you want to dye your hair and praise the Lord, that makes you happy. Great. You do it. Praise the Lord. But my point is that if I just held so much to my preference, I would have never been able to receive what God had for me. And I'm going to tell you honestly, one of the things that I am well aware of and made more aware of all the time, especially as I interact with the world, is that God hooked me up with the right one. And that regardless of whether the hair was the right color or not, from what I thought it should be, what it was perfect, the entire package. I couldn't fulfill the plan of God for my life if I had been focused on blonde hair, because I would have missed this incredible brunette. Amen? And that's the truth. But so often we get focused on things in our lives. We get distracted by what we are. Do you understand what I'm trying to say about our desires? We think it has to look a certain way to make me happy. But it doesn't. It has to look the way God knows, because God knows the way that it's going to bless you. He knows the blessing that's going to come out of it. You can think, oh, I wanted to go get this and then go get. I've actually watched this in my life. All these things that the Lord is delivering to me, I watch siblings and cousins and other people go after them and rack up debt and rack up debt and rack up debt to get these things. And now they're paying off debt, and they have to work all these extra hours and extra jobs sometimes just to pay off the debt. I don't have to do any of that. I live the same life I live, having the things I have. I waited a little longer. See, because I didn't get it. I didn't have to get it in the same time. Amen. Praise the Lord. And that's how God wants to do things to us. And so we have to learn not to be jealous and to be focused on these other things. We have to realize that God is faithful to us, that he wants to bring us to full fruition, to bring us to that place where we are a blessing. And that's the other thing that's a blessing about it. If you're racked up in debt, you say, well, why would that matter to God? Because if you're racked up in debt, like, listen, if I own something outright, I can give it away if the Lord leads me to. But if I don't, if the bank owns it, I can't give it to nobody. I can't be a blessing. And there's times where God will lead to do stuff like that. Amen? Yeah. Praise the Lord. In fact, we always look at the things we own and wonder if it's not something for someone else. And what I mean by that is we put that before the Lord. We put things, if we own something, we put it before the Lord. Lord, is this for me to give to someone else? Is this for me to do something with it? Is this for me to sow into the ministry or whatever? We look at these things. Amen? Praise the Lord. And sometimes they are. I remember one day a guy out of the blue, faithful man of God, walked up to me. And I mean, this was a time period where we didn't have any money. And I mean, no money. We couldn't even, you know, we couldn't go out to eat any of this stuff. And he walked up to me and handed me some money. And man, I was like excited. It was like $125 or something, like $125 or $150 or something like that. And I was really surprised, really shocked, you know, because at the time, $150, I don't balk at that now, but $150 then was huge. It was like, I mean, you could have handed me $1,000, it wouldn't have been, it was just huge to me, you know. And so I was like, okay, what do I do with this? But I knew because of how I was taught, the first thing I did was go before the Lord. Okay, Lord, what is this for? Is this for me to spend or is this for me to do something else? And then instantly the Lord reminded me that I had been desiring to have, and I don't remember what it was at the time, but I had been desiring money to be able to sow into something specific. So I had been desiring that. I knew there was something on my heart to give financially, but I didn't have it to give. And now somebody gave me the money. And the first thought, you know, in most humans is, like, well, go spend it. But when you learn the way the Lord works, you put it before God. Lord, what is this for? Because, see, here's the thing. That money was seed money for me to plant somewhere else. What do we know about seed? Seed produces harvest that's much bigger than the seed. Sometimes what Christians often are doing is they're getting their seed money or seed whatever, and they're going out and spending it. They're eating their seed. They never get a harvest because they've never planted the seed. Yeah, you hear what I'm saying? This is important. They'll eat the seed. Like if you go get an ear of corn, you're eating the seed. Now you can plant that ear of corn and get more corn, right? Technically, you could get, you can increase. But what happens if every time the farmer got his seed, he ate it? He would never have a harvest. He would never have a. God is trying to bring abundance and harvest into people's lives through many areas. And I'm not just talking finances. But he's trying to bring it into their life. But people are eating their seed. They keep eating their seed. You say, well, it's mine. It's mine. It's mine. I'll withhold. What are you doing? You're eating your seed. Amen? Well, praise the Lord. See, God wants to make your name great. But if you're going to eat your seed, he can't make your name great because you keep munching down, you're stealing the stuff that's meant to increase you. And sometimes when you plant seed, here's another aspect of when you plant seed in the ground, you plant it with a little bit of knowledge that it's lost to you now. And that's what's hard about planting seed. But God said he's put these principles in the earth to last. Man, this is sobering because I'll tell you, you think that one area of your life won't affect another area of your life, but it will. Because if you're not faithful in little, you won't be faithful in much. So you take that one little area and say, well, I know I haven't been doing right here, but it's just a little area. But you haven't been faithful. You won't be faithful much. God knows it, so you aren't going to get it. See, sometimes people are eating their seed by doing that. They're refusing faithfulness in an area that they know they need to be faithful in. And by doing so, they're killing seed in other areas of their life. Or killing harvest, I should say, in other areas of their life. Amen? See, this is what I know, praise the Lord, that a faithful man, according to Scripture, abounds in blessing. Praise the Lord. But the godly, it's not so. With the godly, even what they have will be taken. Or the ungodly, I should say. Even what they have will be taken. Praise the Lord. So we don't focus on what other people have. God is faithful to you. He has things for you. It's your job to figure out what that is. And it's not hard. It's not like, oh, I'm going to spend the next 10 years just trying to figure out God. No, it's not that hard at all. If you get faithful, I'm just going to tell you. And if you don't know, if you are truly at a place where you don't know, get a hold of me. We can help you with this if you'll listen. It's not hard to be faithful. It isn't hard. Especially once you see what God, when you know who God is and you see what he does in your life. That's why I love that we've trained our kids in this. Because they if they ever walk out of it, it's their own fault. Praise the Lord. I said, if they ever walk out of it, it's their own fault. All our kids, because they have had nothing but the influx and infusion of the word and the truth, amen, in their lives. Praise God. Psalm 103. Let's go there. Is this going to be an Old Testament sermon? Oh, I do have some New Testament in there. I thought I was supposed to get to all that, but I'm not going to, I think. Psalm 103. You can tell the weekend must be wearing on some of you. Maybe it's the heat in here. Praise the Lord. But this message will bless you. Praise the Lord. Psalm 103:10. Glory to God. Look at this about the word. Yeah, we won't spend much time here because it's real clear. Psalm 103:10. He has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor punished us according to our iniquities. Praise the Lord. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward those who fear him, those who reverence him. Do you know what it is to fear and reverence God? It's to respect what he says. It's to recognize when the word of God is preached and say, yep, that's the word of God. And maybe I don't like it. Maybe it's something I haven't been doing, but I'm going to connect to it anyways because it's God's word, not mine. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. He hasn't dealt with us according to our sins. God is not dealing with you according to your sins. If he gave you what you deserved, you wouldn't like it. Again, reflecting back on last week, what I was saying about healthcare. Yeah, if he gave you what you deserve death, but he didn't give you that. So he'll take care of your health care. Amen? Praise the Lord. You have to stop using your imperfections or your failures to keep you from accessing God. Folks, he is not dealing. The first thing that a Christian goes to when something happens is, I must be doing something wrong. It must be all me. Now, maybe it is. You got to judge your heart. If it is, fix it. Yeah. But listen, see, good Christians do this all the time. And they stay in this perpetual place. I'll just be honest with you. I've been a good Christian who's done this all the time. Yeah. Stay in this perpetual, oh, it must be me. It must be my fault. This isn't happening. No. There's all kinds of things, reasons why things take time. But we know this. God is faithful. He will provide. He will take care of you if you trust in him. Praise the Lord. As the heavens are high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward those who fear him. Amen? Well, praise the Lord. Okay, go to 2 Timothy 2:11. My wife's giving me the sign that I'm taking too much time. I'm just kidding. 2 Timothy 2:11. But this will bless you, it'll help you. Look at this, 2 Timothy 2:11. This is a faithful saying. Faithful saying. It means it's true. Amen? For if we died with him, we shall also live with him. Notice there's ifs. There's ifs and then there's we shalls. If we endure, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful. He cannot deny himself. To deny means to not accept or to reject or to refuse something offered. To refuse something offered. God is offering his peace. He's offering his ability. He's offering to make your name great. But if you refuse that, well, you say, oh, I didn't refuse that. Yes, you did, because you refused it in your actions. You refused it what you said. I'm not saying you, but you understand that a lot of God's people will refuse what he has by their actions. They go out, they insist on living their own way. Again, I shared this last night, and I'll share it with you too. Go read in correlation with this message, because it'll apply here too. If you get time, go read Isaiah 30 and verse 18. And then after you read that, I want you to read it in the Amplified Version. So you read it in the regular version, then the Amplified Version. And then after you read it in the Amplified Version, I want you to go back and read Isaiah 31, 30 verse 1. So you go to the same chapter, just start at the beginning of the verse and see the difference. You choose what kind of life you want to have with God. You decide it. Folks, we decide what we want to have. Now, when we are out in the world, when we're lost, we don't choose specifically because we don't know. And that's why God has so much mercy on the people of the world. But the people in the church, there'll be less mercy because you're supposed to know. But if you refuse to know, then you refuse God. You deny him. And so what it means is when he denies you, if you deny him, he'll deny you. It means he'll deny you that thing that he has for you. Even though, and then it says, if we are faithless, he remains faithful. In other words, your access to it still remains, even though you've been denied it. Because all you have to do is get in your head that you have to receive it. Amen? The thing that's offered. Don't refuse the thing that's offered. Praise the Lord. This is where Christians fail. They refuse what God has offered. When you get distracted by things, when you get jealous about what other people have, what you're doing is you're refusing what God's offering you. And you're saying, this is what I want better. And because I don't have it, something isn't right. God isn't good, or God doesn't love me, or God is mad at me. No, you're focused in the wrong area. Turn back to God. Say, Lord, I put it all before you. You declare to me what's mine. You show me. Make it clear what belongs to me, Lord. You know something? I have asked God that probably 1,000 times, and I've never had him not show me. He's always made it clear to me what was mine. I was like, Lord, something isn't right here. Show me. I've always had God show me. Now, when I say I've had God show me, it doesn't mean Jesus came down on chariots of fire into my living room and said, okay, Jeff, this is what we're going to do. I'm going to show you here. No, it's not like that. But you have to be open enough to God. And of course, you got to spend time in the Word. If you don't spend time in the Word, listen to me, folks. That's what I preached about last night. If you don't spend time in the Word, you better go listen to that message. Because if you don't spend time in the Word, you're backslidden. I said you're backslidden. Hallelujah. You cannot hear from God if you don't spend time in the Word. I don't care if you pray 20,000 hours a day. If you don't spend time in the Word, you can't hear from God. Well, praise the Lord. I had a lot more stuff good to get to, but I ain't going to get there today. Praise the Lord. God loves you anyways, but we got the gist of the message. I think God wants you blessed. He wants you helped. He wants you, but the focus has to change. And as we change it, praise the Lord, God will be there to help us continue on. Amen. And continue into those things he has. He has great and wonderful things for this church. Praise the Lord. I know that he does because God has invested in this church and God does not invest in bad places. And if you don't believe me, I'll give you Pastor Ramos's number. He told me this on the phone specifically. He said, God invested in Mayville, New York. Praise the Lord, because he loves Mayville, New York, and God does not make bad investments. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. We're going to be like Google of Mayville. Hallelujah.